Breaking news, a top Biden advisor calls for a six-week nationwide shutdown. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, we have been hit by the second wave. It has arrived. And what I'm learning so far is that the response to it is going to be strong and heavy new restrictions and possibly a national lockdown.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
One of incoming President Biden's top advisors says shut it down from 4 to 6 weeks. The Washington Post today, there's an op-ed there that says shut it down, the whole country, shut it down from 4 to 6 weeks. That's their answer to the second wave.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You heard it in the opening, a top Biden COVID advisor. This is Dr. Michael Osterholm. He is a coronavirus advisor to President-elect Joe Biden. He's on the task force that Joe Biden has been putting together with people like Zeke Emanuel. Remember, Zeke Emanuel yesterday said that America should not get all of the vaccine first, even though we paid for the creation of it, that we should just get enough to where we bring our numbers down. Well, then now this makes sense. So you do that, and then you give the rest of it out to the world, so America last instead of America first. And then what you do, you get enough of the vaccine out so where the numbers are low, and then how about initiate a nationwide shutdown? Shutdown. That means going back to what we did for just a couple of weeks for up to 6 weeks. That is what is being proposed by, and it's been proposed by Joe Biden throughout. He said he's open to it throughout the campaign. Now he's got top advisors around Dad saying he is open to shutting down, and they are suggesting shutting down the entire U.S. economy, the schools, the workplaces, the restaurants, travel, shutting us down from the world for 6 weeks. The economic consequences we saw of just 2 weeks of coming out of that. And then when you do it at a federal level at 6 weeks, many states, especially blue states, keep it going.
Yeah, well, here's, and take a look what happened in Europe. I mean, in the situation in Europe, what happened was they did, like in Italy, the significant lockdown, even more extreme than what was done in the United States. And I'm not giving medical advice here, but the numbers spiked right as soon as they opened it back up. It spiked back up. I mean, it's just this is the nature, apparently, of the way this pandemic is going. Now, there's good news that on the front looks like on the vaccine, but this to start talking about 6 week shutdowns of the entire U.S. economy now going into the Christmas season when these retailers are barely surviving as it is. I mean, I pay attention to trends in retail. My family grew up in that business. And I'm going to tell you something. The idea that we're going to mandate a shutdown before they've even gotten in office, I mean, I understand they're doing planning, to me is not only alarming, but what's the comprehensive plan? But shutting down the U.S. economy, I've talked to business owners. I was on the phone with business owners in Georgia yesterday. These are small businesses that are just now coming back into a good situation. And Andy, you were on those calls too.
Yes.
And their businesses cannot handle another 6 to 8. And of course, there was no stimulus. Now, maybe they'll get it now because they think they got the White House in the house.
Well, they might, but the fact of the matter is that a plan to just have a nationwide shutdown, as this advisor is suggesting to Biden, would be catastrophic and destructive to the economy as a whole. These people are just now getting back on their feet. As Jay said, we talked to some people in the Atlanta community, and we've seen it in the community here in Washington that we've talked to. These people are struggling to survive. Restaurants are absolutely empty. Retailers are dying, literally, and then you're going to just shut down the nation? Absolutely incredibly crazy.
And you know their plan to help people? Just borrow more money. We'll borrow more money to pay for a package that would cover lost income for individuals and governments during a shutdown. That would get us to 6 weeks. So more debt for the United States, higher taxes to cover something like that. Why is that Senate race, those two Senate races, so important in Georgia? Because to do a plan like this, you'd probably have to raise taxes. And that's not going to happen if those two Republicans win. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Matching challenge. We're in the midst of all of these battles at ACLJ.org. Donate today. Double your impact.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. A lot of you have called in. Our phone lines are full at 1-800-684-3110. Let me remind you right now, the ACLJ is in the midst of a matching challenge in the month of November. You know how busy we are. You know, even with the school issues, with the closings, I was looking through our legal intake today. We are still handling, and we've probably handled thousands of those now. We're handling one right now for a student with disabilities I saw just today that came in that is not getting the proper instruction or tools to be able to do the learning from home. So we're still doing that major effort as part of our school choice effort, but just to help families so that they've got a legal team with them to make those requests, because almost every time they made a request and they got no response. Then the ACLJ made a request with a legal demand letter, and suddenly things started changing for the positive in most cases. And so we're still working on that. Thousands of families across the country being impacted in a positive way because of the work of the ACLJ attorneys, getting them the assistance they need for the education at home, especially for special needs students, independent education programs, and those students who are in financially difficult situations. We've had full internet installed in probably hundreds of homes, done for at the cost of the school district so that these students could continue their education as best as possible virtually. So I want to encourage you. We're in the midst of the legal battle to preserve the election integrity. Of course, at the Supreme Court, we're watching that. We'd be doing that on behalf of the ACLJ to support our work. If you donate today at aclj.org through the month of November, your donation is effectively doubled. What does that mean? It's been a bit since the matching challenge. So if you donated $20 today online at aclj.org on your credit card, that is effectively $40 for the ACLJ, but you're only charged $20. It's tax deductible. And again, all of that, all those resources go right to our ACLJ lawyers who are out defending our election integrity, who are out defending our students, and of course, your constitutional rights and our government affairs team. It even goes to bringing you this broadcast every single day. And I encourage you to donate today at aclj.org and be part of that matching challenge this month of November. We need your support going into this time of the year. Dad, it has been busier than usual post-election because of all the potential constitutional legal issues that could be before the court. I know people are waiting on pins and needles right now to get an update from you on where these legal challenges stand from President Trump's team, from the campaign, and from the RNC.
Yeah, let me encourage you to, those of you watching on our social media platforms, to share this with your friends, because we are going to give an update that you're not going to really get anyplace else. So if you would, just go ahead and share the feed that you're on right now, whether it's Twitter or whatever you might be on, Facebook, and encourage you to get that out, Partle, wherever you're watching. So let me give you a scenario, what has actually happened. And this is, I think, important for everybody to understand. There have been a series of lawsuits filed and about four more coming. Now, not just the campaign, so it's not just the Trump campaign, but also individual citizen voters that feel like their election was diluted. We've got a team now working in, and Annie and I have been working directly on this, in a situation in Georgia where a whole community of citizens apparently has had their votes. When they went to vote, they said, well, you've already mailed in your ballot. And this was hundreds of people, and they did not mail in their ballots. I just got word of one in Georgia where there is a change of, they said they denied him the right to vote the first time he went in, saying he voted by ballot. He went back in the second day to protest, and they said, oh, you know what? You're right. You can go vote now. Now, if that happened 1,300 times, there'd be no runoff for Senate if those votes were for the president. That's an assumption. There wouldn't be a runoff in Georgia for David Perdue's seat. So, I mean, these numbers have real, real consequences. Now, let me take it one step further, and that is the nature of the litigation is expanding as well, Andy. And Andy's been, let me tell you something, Andy Economo, senior counsel for the ACLJ, has been in D.C. With me this entire week and has been going through literally now probably this is the seventh or eighth, and there's more coming, getting more for you this afternoon. More coming in now.
Thank you. Yes. There's one I want to talk about specifically, folks, that I think is really important. It's a lawsuit that was brought in the United States District Court for the Western District of Michigan, and this was brought by people themselves, electors, voters themselves, Seeley, O'Halloran, Ostergen, Sheridan, Wersing, Tarsa. These are real people. These are not, these are people who were affected, and what they allege in affidavits that were signed and attached to the complaint, that they were denied access to the Cobo Hall where the voting was taking place while Democratic challengers were allowed access. And they have sworn to this in sworn statements.
What does that mean for people when it's under oath? Very important to...
Okay, a sworn statement means that they take an affidavit, which is a sworn statement. I do solemnly swear that I know from personal knowledge the facts that I am reciting in this affidavit. So I am saying this because I saw it, heard it, felt it myself. And then furthermore, they say Republican challengers who left were not allowed to return. Democratic challengers who left were replaced by others. Challengers were admitted. There were many more Democrats allowed to observe the process of counting and absent balloting rather than Republican challengers. When Pauline Monty, that was one of the plaintiffs, told an election worker that she was not able to see the monitor because they pushed it farther away from her, the election worker responded, quote, too bad. Zachary Volpel, these are human beings, real people, folks, reported that an election supervisor called him an obscene name and told him not to ask questions about the balloting process and counting. Kim Toko was personally intimidated and insulted by election workers. And this is a good one. Quinn Schmidt was the target of a racist comment and asked, quote, what gives you the right to be here since you are not American? Another election worker told a challenger, Jasmine Early, since, quote, English was not her first language, she should not be taking part in this process. Now, this, folks, goes over and over and over in this complaint, which is over 30 pages long, seeking not to have the election in Michigan. This is Wayne County, Detroit, Michigan, not certified. So I have looked at these, and I have now got facts. This is not just suppositions and generalizations that you heard me recite just now on the radio. These are actual things that you have heard, that people have said and experienced themselves, Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've heard this time and time again from people who are individuals, and that's what they're doing right now. They're preparing affidavits. You've seen Ron McDaniel, who, by the way, President Trump said he endorses her to remain as RNC chair. That came from President Trump. She showed, I think it was on Hannity last night with Kayleigh McEnany. They went through hundreds of affidavits. This is how you get the ball rolling. As I told people last week, it was kind of like wild accusations left and right, and YouTube videos popping up. And then the attorneys have got to all put it together. And there's certain attorneys for the RNC. There's certain attorneys for the president, like we do and my dad does. And then there's, of course, for the Trump campaign. So then you figure out who's going to take those challenges. Some are also done by state AGs. Some are done by state Republican parties first. So you put them all together. And, Dad, that's what we're seeing is right now, yes. I think people need to reserve judgment on both sides about these legal challenges until they actually see what's really put forward in court. Not just the small things here and there. The big do the big cases come to court? It's a question out there. Do the big cases come to court? We have the big one at Pennsylvania that's at the Supreme Court.
That stay's still in a place.
But there has to be three or four more like that.
So the stay that was issued initially on Saturday, Friday, is still in a place. It's still in place right now. And that is the stay that you can't include those other votes in the general votes, the one that came in late. There are now a series of these cases, as Andy is going over them as they come in every couple of hours. And as Jordan said, those cases will evolve not just from the campaign. These are individual citizen voters. This happened, by the way, in Bush versus Gore. Same exact scenario of how these cases came up. And then you'll look, I think next week you will actually have hearings. They're all going to be telephonic because of the nature of the with the COVID epidemic. The courts are still not having live argument in person. But there'll be arguments over the phone. That's going to happen next week. So all of this is taking place. I think starts maturing. My view is, Andy, I think, and it's, we only got a minute and a half left here, I think next week you're going to start seeing some significant.
Yeah, the suits have been filed, and they're going to be maturing and ready for hearing immediately because they're all asking for expedited treatment before the judges. In other words, Judge, we have filed a lawsuit that talks about serious infractions of the election rules, serious denials of access, the things that Jay mentioned earlier about people saying, well, you voted, you can't vote, get out of here, go home, and they come back the next day with a ballot. A lot of people didn't come back. They just went away and go home, but now next week, these are all going to materialize into actual live hearings with affidavits and testimony before district judges and state court judges.
All right, folks, when we come back, we will continue to take your phone calls. A great comment coming in. We'll answer this one from Amy on Facebook. What's their plan for the economy if they plan on shutting it down for 4 to 6 weeks? Well, we have the answer from that top Biden advisor on the COVID task force, not the one who thinks everyone should be dead at 75, even though now he's advising a president-elect, maybe president-elect, who's 77. Not that advisor. So we'll answer that question for you, the significance of the change. America first from America last. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact your donations. A matching challenge month in November at ACLJ.org. We're involved in everything.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. As always, we encourage you to share this broadcast with your friends and family when you're watching on Facebook, Periscope, if you're watching on places like YouTube, and we've expanded too. You know, and so we are trying to use more social media platforms like YouTube even more for the show, not just for videos, but places like Parler as well, where we're all signed up at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ, so the show is there. As well, it uses that same kind of Periscope system there. But I want to answer, and do we have Rick? Rick is going to be joining us. Okay, but I want to answer this question that came in from Amy on Facebook. She said, what's the Biden plan for the economy if they shut down the whole economy in the whole country for 4 to 6 weeks? Well, we've got the answer from the top. This is the top advisor to Joe Biden on his coronavirus task force. He's a professor in Minnesota, Dr. Michael Osterholm. This is what he says. He's a medical professor, scientist, telling us what we're going to do economically to save the country during a six-week total shutdown.
We could pay for a package right now to cover all of the wages, lost wages for individual workers, for losses to small companies, to medium-sized companies, for city, states, county governments. We could do all of that. If we did that, then we could lock down for 4 to 6 weeks. And if we did that, we could drive the numbers down.
So there you go.
I want to say something if I can.
Yep.
Can I say something? The reporting right now that Bernie Sanders has stated publicly that he would be willing to accept the labor secretary job under a Biden administration. Now, okay, Bernie Sanders ran as a socialist. He doesn't hide it. So the head, if Joe Biden appoints Bernie Sanders to the Secretary of Labor, we will have, for the first time in U.S. history, a confirmed, someone who says he is a socialist, calls himself a democratic socialist, at the head of the Labor Department. So sure, closing the economy to 4 to 6 weeks, 4 to 6 months, whatever it might be. I mean, this falls right within the playbook of what they're thinking about.
And we've got Rick Rinnell, our special advisor for foreign policy and national security. Rick, first an update from you on the campaign, the election, and then I want to get your thoughts, too, on some of these new plans to One, not provide the vaccine to all Americans, just enough of it. That came from Zeke Emanuel, who's advising Biden. And then today, his another advisor saying, let's do a six-week shutdown and we'll just borrow the money from China, I guess. But first, an update on the campaign and the election stuff.
Well, look, I think we're seeing examples throughout the state, certainly in Nevada, in a variety of other states where we're highlighting discrepancies. And there seems to be from the governments, the register of voters for the counties, a real disinterest in looking at the details. I can tell you in Clark County in Nevada, we have a register of voter head, a guy named Joe Gloria, who says, I'm not capable of investigating all of these questions that are being raised about voters from outside of Nevada breaking the residency requirements, or individuals who are voting who are clearly dead. He has literally taken the position that he doesn't have the ability to investigate, that he has to keep to this timeline of certifying the elections by a specific date. And therefore, he is pushing forward with processes that are reckless, knowing that they're reckless, but he's willing to say, I have to do it, I have no choice, because I've got to meet this deadline. We also, when we filed our court documents, asking the judge to look at this machine that is counting votes by comparing signatures and throwing certain signatures out if they don't match. We have right now a judge who is saying that he also can't stop the counting because he's under the mandate from the Nevada legislature to finish counting by a certain date. So literally what we have are government agencies and judges saying, my hands are tied, I know it's sloppy, but there's nothing I can do about it because I have to certify this election. Now that is dangerous, to think that the timing issue is what's being is driving all of these decisions. And as somebody who has been on the ground in Nevada watching this, I think that people who vote legally should be really outraged that the system is sloppy. We've known it's sloppy, and government officials are just saying, oh, well, nothing we can do about it.
Hey, Rick, this is Jay. I'm in Washington. I know you're out in Nevada. Let me ask you this. We're seeing a lot of the cases that, and there's new cases being filed, and not all by the campaign. Now we're starting to see citizen voters starting to file their lawsuits. And I wanted to get your reaction to this. I think some of these are going to mature, at least come to oral arguments, probably as early as next week. Definitely as early as next week, where at least the constitutional arguments may well be addressed, which is obviously important to the American Center for Law and Justice. What is your sense of timing out there? I mean, you were talking about how there's this rush. The courts just seem to not to be foreclosing a lot of this. Is that what I'm picking up?
Yeah, I think that there's a belief from government agencies in the courts that we can try to do what we can before this, you know, looming deadline to certify the election. And that seems to be what's driving this. And I think you're right, Jay, that individuals are going to start filing court cases and legal challenges because they feel disenfranchised. And this is going to go on long past the deadline for the election being certified. We've got to clean this up. There's no question about it. I think that there's a recognition that there is a problem. But separately, are we going to be able to clean up these problems and adjust the current election? I think remains to be seen, because we seem to have a whole bunch of people on the other side that just say, no matter what recklessness is going on, we've got to hurry up and certify an election.
Yeah, it's one of the things we've been talking about internally here is, you know, when you go to court, what is the remedy you're asking for? That's why I tell everybody it's a Herculean task, not impossible, but the dominoes, everything has to line up and fall in a particular order. And, you know, I know we're only got a minute and 36 seconds left here. Let me ask Rick one other question. What is the voter among the president's supporters out there? What's kind of the attitude, the feeling right now? What are you picking up? I know you're dealing with them.
Listen, people are frustrated. People are really frustrated because they're seeing this anecdotal evidence. They're seeing lists of people that have been disenfranchised or that have irregularities to their votes. People see the evidence, and so they're frustrated that the media is ignoring it. They're frustrated that government officials are racing to approve the election. There's a sense that, you know, there's a problem, but nobody's willing to do anything about it. And that creates a credibility gap. And I think that's my concern is that when voters, everyday Americans, feel like the system is not working for them or corrupt, that's a problem across the board that's going to really affect their lives on a daily basis.
Very good. Thanks, Rick.
You know, folks, we are able to have Rick Rednell. And by the way, I'd suggest to Rick maybe to write about his experience so far out in Nevada. That would be great for the ACLJ.org. Someone on the ground hearing these stories. We can get that post up this week. We have people like Rick Rednell, former cabinet members, former acting directors of national intelligence and U.S. ambassador to Germany, on the team at the ACLJ because of your financial support. We bring you this broadcast. We do the cases, the government affairs, because of your financial support. Double your impact. Matching Challenge Month at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom. live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Than Bennett also joining us now. I encourage you, share this broadcast with your friends and family. If you're watching on Facebook, Periscope, and again, if you're Parler or any of those places, share this with your friends and family. You're getting updates from the president's legal team on the legal challenges. You're getting updates from our special advisor, Rick Rennell, who in a different role is also working with the RNC and is running their Nevada operations, and you're getting that update as well. He's a former cabinet member. We're able, share this with your friends and family. Of course, if you're listening on radio right now, which is most of our audience is, most is not watching, most is listening, I always encourage you, go back and see. You know, Rick was on camera with us. Go back and see the graphics we put together. And if it's a specific show that you like and you want to share, we clip a lot of the parts of the show out throughout the day. So go to our Facebook pages like Jay Sekulow's and Jordan Sekulow's and ACLJ's and share those parts with your friends and family, because we have noticed just an uptick in people watching again online to get these updates because there's so much uncertainty right now. And I want to go right to the phones. Judy's been holding on. I want to answer her question because I think having Than Bennett in the studio now with us in Washington, D.C. is great for this question. Hey, Judy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Okay. So you were talking earlier on the show about Biden's COVID plans, and I think this is just adding another bad policy to his list of bad policies. He's come out with the executive orders. He's talking about what he's going to do, his plans for the Middle East. And my question is, what is the check on these policies and these executive orders? What if we hold the Senate, what can be done within the system to keep him from implementing some of these really bad policies?
Well, okay, so I want to go to Than first and then Andy on the legal. Than, on the policy-wise, there are certain things the president can do by executive order, certain things President Trump has done by executive order, and other things they can't. Like raising taxes, things like that. So that brings these two to one, at least one, but you probably if you win one of these Senate races in Georgia, you win both. And I'm not sure. It looks like the recount is focused only on the presidential. Is that what I'm hearing now, Than? Because I'm not getting clear guidance to know if the Purdue vote is also getting a recount as well. So update people about the balance of the Senate, because, of course, there are things that can only be done legislatively. You can't implement a Green New Deal only by executive order. You can't raise taxes by executive order. But then there are things you can do by executive order, like remove the Mexico City policy and start funding abortion overseas. Again, you can do that by executive order. A lot of the religious liberty protections, like the Johnson Amendment, which was zeroed out by executive order from the president, can be put back in place to silence churches and pastors again from speaking out on issues in politics. But the big ticket items take Congress.
Yeah, Jordan, let me start with that situation in Georgia, because this has me really concerned. I actually put in a call to the Georgia Secretary of State this morning, as well as to Congressman Doug Collins, who is leading that recount ballot. And Jordan, there is...
Looks like we got a little am I good, though? I'm good, okay. So we'll get back to Than, we'll reconnect, because I think it's very important. I want to know what he has to say about whether or not the Georgia Secretary of State, and when we have him back, let me know. Than, are you there? Can you hear? I don't think he can hear us yet. He's reconnecting. But I want to answer the first. Okay, we got 50 seconds left. So, Than, on the Senate race, you called the Secretary of State. What did they say? Nah, I've lost Than again. I can answer the legal part of your question, too. On the legal question, presidents can't just do whatever they want by executive order. Remember, the president has been challenged, President Trump, on a number of his executive orders, went all the way to the Supreme Court on the ban from certain countries from people coming in. He won it 5-4, but it went all the way to the Supreme Court. So guess who's going to be there if Joe Biden is issuing these executive orders and we believe they're unconstitutional to challenge him in court? The American Center for Law and Justice. I think, folks, you'll need us now more than ever. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double your impact to Matching Challenge Month, aclj.org. We'll get the tech worked out. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so I think this is very important because we were talking about executive orders and executive actions. I want to go to Andy first on this. Andy, when it comes to executive orders, there are things the president can do by executive order. Mexico City policy would be something they're removing that we would oppose, but they can do that by executive order. That would allow Joe Biden would then unleash federal funding to go to overseas abortion procedures to actually pay for the abortions. And there's a whole host of other things they can do by executive order. But there are other executive orders and actions like the DACA kind of changes that were made by Trump, that some were okay, some were not okay. The use of funds for the border wall, some okay, some not okay. That oftentimes the bolder executive orders, they get challenged in court, and we're going to be ready to challenge every single time we believe they're unconstitutional. So that's the first check on any executive order, is whether or not the president has the constitutional authority to do it. Now, to make that check, Andy, you have to have groups like the ACLJ who can go into court right away.
That's exactly right, Jordan. What we are prepared to do is when an executive order exceeds the authority of the executive branch of government to enter into it and requires the legislative branch, the House and the Senate, to be the ones to speak to it, we will challenge that executive order on constitutional grounds, saying to the court, look, the executive has overstepped its bounds, has gone into a territory that is only reserved to the legislature. And that's why, Jordan, it is so important that we retain the Senate. I'm telling you, without the Senate, we have a Democrat in the presidency, a Democratic-controlled Senate with Schumer as the majority leader, probably, and maybe Pelosi as the Speaker of the House. But as someone said, I'm shocked to think that you would ever call her a moderate. But again, our chances are to hold the United States Senate by making sure in those runoff elections that Sam was beginning to allude to in Georgia, that we elect the Republican candidate, Senator Perdue, over the communist, Marxist, left-wing John Ossoff, who would be horrible in the Senate, and that we elect Senator Loeffler again over Pastor Warnock, in the other election race. And we've got to keep those. That would give us a comfortable 52-48 margin in the Senate. So those are those very important things that the ACLJ does to make sure that everybody stays in their constitutional lane.
And Than, I want you to give us an update on what's happening in Georgia, because Andy just pointed out how important that check on power would be if Republicans retain control of the Senate. They're on the verge of it. They need one of those two. Again, you called the Secretary of State's office. There's been confusion. I've read reports that the recount is only presidential, and thus they're not going to be counting the Purdue-Ossoff race by recount. What did you learn from the Secretary of State? And I know some of that may be because if you're in the lead, you might not be able to request it, but what's going on there?
Yeah, well, when the Secretary of State came out and announced this recount, it was very conspicuous to me that he announced he was only going to be recounting the presidential race, which, of course, Jordan, just makes absolutely no sense, because the race actually the closest that's the most likely to have a change in outcome would be that Senate race involving Senator Perdue. He just needs a little more than a quarter of a point to change in order to avoid a runoff. Now, certainly the president's race could flip as well. But, Jordan, if you're going to touch every ballot anyway, why would you not look at both races? But when the Secretary of State came out, he said that he was only going to look at the presidential race. So I put in a call to his office today, was not able to get a response from them. I talked to Congressman Doug Collins' office, who's responsible for the recount. Jordan, they have found the same thing. They support looking at both races. They've asked the Secretary of State to review both races, and yet the Secretary of State has declined to commit to including the Senate runoff in that race. Jordan, the only reason he would decline to include it in that race is because he does not plan to do it. So again, I just want to sort of distill all of that into one very easy to understand narrative here. The Secretary of State in the state of Georgia is going to put their hands on every single ballot to do a recount in the presidential race. As of now, Jordan, it looks like while they're touching those ballots, they will not look to see if votes change in the United States Senate race. Jordan, I've got to tell you, unless there's some prohibition in state law that I'm missing, and no one is claiming that at this point, I consider that a dereliction of duty. The voters of Georgia deserve to have both of those races looked at and to see what the legitimate outcome that they chose was. But as of this moment, there's no commitment from the Secretary of State in Georgia to do that.
All right. I mean, so that is going to be interesting, Andy. That means because we thought with the recount there could potentially change the outcome of that, where you wouldn't need a runoff, at least in one of those Senate races. And now it looks like that it is going to be two runoffs, Perdue and Loeffler.
Yeah, I heard yesterday that after the certification takes place on November 20th, that either side, Senator Perdue or Loeffler, whoever, Perdue particularly here, could ask for a recount. So it may very well be that after the certification on November 20th, a recount would happen. But it has got to be a meaningful recount. And by that, I mean touch the ballot, a manual recount where you actually touch the ballot and not simply run the totals from these, in many cases, defective machines. So, I mean, it's stupid, really, not to count when you're at 49.73%. That's how close Senator Perdue is to avoiding a runoff, not to have a meaningful, effective recount, Jordan.
You know, I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Mike in California, online 5. Hey, Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. Got a comment for you that, based on what your guys' discussion is this morning, isn't it going to be a lot simpler to hold a new election in just the contested states as opposed to, I mean, not stopping the litigation, because obviously we have to get to the bottom of who caused, why it was caused, you know, everything on the fraud. But in order to be able to secure the presidency of the United States, hold a new election just in those contested states. Would that be possible?
You know, I think that, listen, that I think it's more likely that is not the recourse. The recourse is Than and Andy's state legislatures. And ultimately it can be Congress, but then state Congress, the makeup of Congress by state. Than, can you explain that to people real quick? It's not by who controls the House, if it were to go to the House, but it would be like the court saying, you know what, this needs to go to Congress to decide the electors. And if it does, it doesn't go by who controls the House by number, but who controls the House by states.
That's right. If neither candidate gets to 270, a majority in the Electoral College, whether it's a 269-269 tie or whether both are just too far behind and a state can't certify to get over anybody over that hurdle, the election goes to the House, but every member does not get a vote. Every state delegation gets a vote. And Jordan, prior to this Congress, Republicans controlled 26 delegations, Democrats controlled 22, and there was a tie. And then Michigan with Justin Amash probably would have been a 23rd for Democrats. But Jordan, it looks that at least two more delegations are going to move from Democrat control to a tie. So Republicans actually have a several state advantage should that election go to the House, should the Electoral College not be able to determine it. So even though Democrats are going to hold on to a very slim, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 seat majority in the House, Republicans actually have a pretty convincing advantage when it comes to state delegations. And again, every state delegation gets one single vote in that scenario. So there would be 50 total votes available, and 26 votes would be enough to determine the presidency. And just interesting side note there, Jordan, if that were to happen, the vice president would actually be picked by the United States Senate.
All right, let's go back to the phones again. We're going to take as many phone calls as we can. Phone lines are full, but we got one open up right now, 1-800-684-3110. Karen in South Carolina on line 6. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, good morning. I'm donating and praying as much as I can.
Thank you so much, Karen.
You're welcome, and thank you for all that you're doing. My question is, with all the mounting evidence of indiscrepancies and fraud, et cetera, if it's possible that this goes to the Supreme Court, can the Supreme Court rule to extend the election certification date?
So, again, I think you can. What they can do, Andy, is they can halt certifications. I don't know about it's extending a date. But I guess by halting it, you are extending it. So there is, but there is a matter of time we're dealing with here. Most of these state certifications happen around mid to third week of December, and that's so you can then prepare for the orderly transition of power. But the Supreme Court can issue a stay on a state certifying their election.
Yeah, Jordan, that's right. I think to do otherwise, to set another certification date or so forth, would be to legislate, and that this court is not going to do that. This Supreme Court is not going to do that. But it could, as Justice Alito did in the Pennsylvania litigation, stay the certification until things are sorted out. So I think you're right on that.
All right, folks, we've got another segment coming up. Remember, share this if you're watching us on Facebook and Periscope. Share this with your friends and family. We would take a lot of phone calls, answer all these questions people have, and again, provide you with the best info possible, the legal challenges, what's happening in the Senate, what would happen with a Joe Biden presidency, a nationwide shutdown for 6 weeks. We'll just borrow the money to pay everybody for it. Nationwide shutdown, shut us off from the world. But I thought we could have this vaccine. Oh, the other advisor on COVID wants to give the vaccine just enough to America, so we're it's not too bad here. They give the rest overseas. America last. We don't stand for that.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I wanted to put this on the screen. This is just unique because this is the kind of people, remember, we talked about how Joe Biden is one of his top COVID advisors. And by the way, I think I called him President-elect Joe Biden earlier in the broadcast. Folks, don't freak out on that. When I was reading the news article, that's what they're saying. You know, we're in the legal battle. We don't believe he's the president-elect yet. The votes haven't been certified. I tried to clarify that, but you don't need to call in on it. Don't worry. I'm on the Trump legal team fighting to keep President Trump in office for four more years. So there is no Joe Biden elect ever. But that is what most of the mainstream articles say. So when you're reading through them, unfortunately, you might say that, and you might see that often. So when you look at Biden's COVID advisors, yesterday we had the COVID advisor come out. He was Zeke Emanuel, as a doctor, is related to Rahm Emanuel. And you know, his thing was, one, he wrote a piece a few years ago, "I hope I'm dead at 75, because after 75, you're not really worth anything." And now he's advising a potential, could be the president, I'll say it like that, Joe Biden. He's on the transition team, if you want to call it that, who's 77. So past that 75 age. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part is he said, yeah, it's great that we've got this vaccine. If it works, we should only give a little bit out to the United States so that we bring our numbers down to a tolerable point and then give the rest to the world. Not take care of Americans first. That is just, it's obscene. And now a second member of the Biden COVID advisory team says he wants to lock down the country for 4 to 6 weeks. I want to underscore this. Let me play this for you, folks, because this is a second advisor, top advisor. He's a professor, a scientist, Dr. Michael Osterholm. He's been doing the interviews about how to do a 6-week nationwide shutdown of the United States. That means every aspect and cutting us off from the world. Take a listen.
We could pay for a package right now to cover all of the wages, lost wages for individual workers, for losses to small companies, to medium-sized companies, yeah, for cities, states, county governments. We could do all of that. If we did that, then we could lock down for 4 to 6 weeks. And if we did that, we could drive the numbers down.
Okay, so he wants to borrow money, I guess, from China to pay us all to stay at home. But, you know, what about the big businesses that drive the country and most people's payrolls? A lot of, you know, the small business is, of course, very important. That's great. But how much debt are we going to put on, and how much tougher is it to recover? I mean, do any of you really support a nationwide shutdown? I understand local governments taking action, schools taking action locally. And, you know, you deal with your state. If you're in a deep blue state, you're going to have a lot more shutdowns. You choose to live there. No one makes you live there. Your job might require you to be there. Hopefully you're still getting paid even if you're working from home and things are working out for you. If you live in red states, they're more open right now. But sometimes they do go into a city and put special restrictions in place because they see a rise in COVID. That's the way things should be working, not a nationwide 6-week-long shutdown. But this is kind of telling you the team surrounding Joe Biden, because he's brought in Ron Klain. Now, this guy, he's well-known in Washington, D.C., with Biden, with the Clintons. And I want to put this tweet up. This is from July 14th, which, by the way, my birthday, but this is July 14th, 2014. And he was responding to a Vox News poll that said that 68% of Americans think elections are rigged. Now, Ron Klain, who Joe Biden has said will be his chief of staff if Joe Biden does become the president, this will be his chief of staff. His response to 68% of Americans thinking that elections are rigged, he wrote back to Vox.com on Twitter, "That's because they are." And then here we are in the midst of an election where we're mocked for calling potential voter fraud out for what it is and potentially even rigging the election through machines and other matters. And yet the incoming chief of staff for Joe Biden makes a mockery of our system and says it is rigged.
So I guess the presumptive chief of staff for the former vice president is going to be supporting these challenges across the states to ensure that the election wasn't rigged. I look forward to hearing that from him today, although, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure that's not coming. Let me comment on the shutdown proposal, though, Jordan. We've made so much progress economically. This would be the worst possible time for this. We've learned an awful lot about the virus. We've learned how to take precautions. We've got a vaccine coming. We've learned how to partially open, or even more than partially, close to fully open in some places. People finally have an ability to make a living again without the government having to pass stimulus after stimulus after stimulus, although we know there's another one in the works. Jordan, this would be the worst possible time to take people's ability away. I think one of the things that Washington, D.C. loses, Jordan, is this is not a switch that is just thrown for regular people where they can go to work and leave work and come back to work. No, Jordan, if they have to shut down, in very many cases, they lose their ability to provide for a family. And then when things reopen again, they can't just turn it back on. This is a terrible idea, and it comes at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I mean, Laura on Facebook wrote, so government will be paying everyone wages? That sounds like communism. And when you take it out to 6 weeks, it certainly does. I mean, he says, quote, we could pay for a package right now to cover all the wages, lost wages for individual workers, for losses to small companies, to medium-sized companies, to city, state, county governments. We could do all of that. That is the federal government taking over the economy. But I do want to keep answering more of your questions today. Andy, I want your comment on this, though. Maricopa County's GOP chair has had to resign because they skipped. This is the biggest county in Arizona, and it's a very split county. Republican, Democrat can go either way. Their GOP chair has now resigned because they skipped the election equipment verification test. The election equipment verification, they just skipped it. And by the way, well, Andy, it was a Dominion voting machine.
Yeah, big surprise about the Dominion voting machines, which are the biggest vehicles for fraud and manipulation that have ever been invented. I've done a little research on that, and I've looked at some of the characters who run Dominion, and they're really unsavory, an unsavory lot. But if this person in Maricopa County has resigned, then they ought to, because they were derelict in their duty to do what they should have done. And I think that's the biggest county in Arizona, is it not? And they should have been on their toes, making sure that the appropriate calibrations and so forth for those machines was put in place. But that's the kind of neglect that has put us in this horrible situation, Jordan. Neglect that should never have occurred. And if that person has in fact resigned, I say good riddance.
I can't get to the last two calls of the day, Tony and Luke. I'm sorry about that. But Tony had a question about the 12th Amendment, which is the electors, and people are talking about that. And I want to answer it as quickly as I can. I mean, Than, this is all about if you don't get to the electoral, if you don't get those 270 votes, if not enough states are certified, the Constitution does provide a method for a president to be selected without states certifying their electoral college votes.
Yep, and it could be a tie, or it could be just multiple states aren't certified, so both are below that hurdle. And like we talked about earlier, Jordan, it would be whoever had the most state delegations in the U.S. House of Representatives, not the most congressmen voting for the president, the most state delegations. And Jordan, if it ended up in the U.S. House, the next president of the United States would be Donald Trump. He would be reelected by the House of Representatives.
Let me tell you something, folks. We're in the midst of every battle, every legal battle, protecting your constitutional right to the integrity of your vote. You heard that from my dad today. There's a reason why he's in Washington, D.C., why he's only able to join for about a half hour on with us each day. We're in the battle again with the schools to fight back against these potential shutdowns. We're preparing for the worst while we're fighting to keep President Trump in office. Remember that. But you got to prepare for the worst. That's what attorneys do. The ACLJ, I think you might realize you're going to need us now, potentially, more than ever. Bernie Sanders is a cabinet member. Think about that. Donate to the ACLJ today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.